Well, hello everybody, this is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. Family, yes, that's a good thing because this week we had an impromptu reunion.
We had all of our kids together at once.
You know, I've heard people say that, you know, and it didn't make much of a register. I mean, it didn't really register on me when we had all eight of our kids with us for every meal. But now, you know, four of them have gone off to college. Three of them have graduated and gone on to grown-up stuff.
Okay, you know what? We never had all eight at home at the same time.
Didn't we?
Nope. Because our youngest was born the first year our oldest was at college.
You know, it never really registered when we had all seven of them at home all at the same time. Okay. All right. Point taken.
Yeah, but seriously, when your kids are little, you don't realize what a treasure it is to be all together.
And when it's just one off at college, you just kind of feel like, well, he's temporarily away, but he's coming back.
But now half of ours are gone. Half of them are grown-ups.
You know, in fact, we had a little period this week where there were actually five family members sleeping at one location and six at another. We were almost evenly divided.
That's right.
Because we had eight children until Matthew got married, and now we say we have an extra daughter, so now we've got nine, right?
Something like
that. Can we count that?
Sure.
Okay. Anyway, it was good because everybody was coming and going, but they all intersected over about a 24-hour period, and so we rushed together and we smoked some pork and had barbecue and just had a great time.
Well, you know, it really is an amazing blessing seeing them together as adults because their friendship for each other has only grown as they've grown up. You know, a couple of ours have been going through a tough time the past few weeks, and to see their care and concern for each other, I didn't realize what a blessing that would be.
It really is. Excuse me. And, you know, to see them, you know, all kind of descending on the one brother who is renting a three-bedroom house, and he's there without a roommate right now. So suddenly he's got three roommates that have moved into the other two rooms for a time. And that's, you know, that's just awesome. I am just glad to see that. It really gives me hope for the family relationships going forward to the future. And, that, you know, I tell you what, that's the payoff for dealing with the sibling rivalry when yes. They're 6 years old.
It really is.
You know, for shepherding them through the teenage years and keeping relationships at the forefront, then when they don't have to, then when you can't compel them, they're making the choices that you really wish they would.
Yeah, that really is the payoff for all that. For the frustrating times, when you're constantly breaking up fights, you're constantly negotiating and helping them to see things from a different perspective, it pays off later when they're grown up.
Yeah, it does.
Well, speaking of pays off later, yeah. You know, we just had an anniversary in our culture.
We did, and I was just thinking about that the other day. This is the anniversary of... It's Independence Day, right? I mean, tomorrow's the 4th of July.
But that's not what we're talking about.
No, it's really more to the forefront in some ways.
It's more Dependence Day.
Honestly, yeah. This is the 10th anniversary of the introduction of the iPhone. It's the first smartphone that took over the world's markets. And of course, lots of imitators have come out and, you know, we've got both iPhones and Android devices in our family now and all the rest, but I mean, who could have thought? I remember being really excited when I got the first flip phone, and I could just flip that screen up like a communicator on the original series.
I was just about to say I felt like Captain Kirk.
I was always disappointed it didn't chirp. But
yeah, it really ought to chirp.
But, you know, that was a thrill to me, and that was, gosh, I feel like a dinosaur now to think about that, because this whole smartphone idea has just taken over.
Well, it's changed so many things, and some things for the better and some things for the worse. You know, because it's so much easier to find your way around than it used to be. I remember traveling with stacks of maps and trying to figure out where you were so you could find it on the map and find where you were supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, you type your address into your map function on your phone,
yeah,
and it tells you every turn to take. Navigating has gotten so much easier.
I was thinking about that last night driving home in the dark cross country and remembering that when we first moved to this house, I got a new job in a different location and I actually got out a topographical map and drew a line. What is the straightest distance from home base to my office now? And I still follow that route, but it's, you know, that
it's
was...
It's gotten a lot easier.
Yeah, it's gotten a whole lot easier. In fact, you know, Dr. Al Mohler, the head of Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, made the observation when he was talking about this on his podcast. He said, you realize how difficult it is for someone to be truly lost these days. I mean, to be geographically lost.
It's a lot harder than it used to be.
Yeah, it is.
Although, we have been to some places that had no cell phone service.
And that kind of highlights something, that you get used to this technology. You become dependent on this technology. You know, we used to talk about how difficult it was to fold up a gas station map. You know, our kids don't even know how to unfold a gas station map.
No, they've never used them.
They've never had a need for it. And so,
and we used to have books of topographical maps in the car. We used to have atlases. Our kids don't use any of that stuff. But, you know, enough about reminiscing.
Right.
Let's talk about smartphone use in the family.
That is an important thing because, you know, again, Dr. Mueller was talking about it this past week, and he said, this is one of the first times when the new technology raises two questions. Are you being an irresponsible parent if you let your child have a smartphone? Or are you being an irresponsible family if you don't? He said you can kind of go both directions.
I think the answer is yes.
The answer is yes in both cases.
In both cases, yeah.
So let's unpack this a little bit. Let's think about that very practical question. You've got a young child. We'll talk about different ages maybe, but you have a child still in your home and they want a smartphone. You got to make a decision. What's that choice going to be? Should we go ahead and tell them what we've done, or do we just talk about
the process? Well, let's talk about some principles first, because it might look a little different in every family, Hal, because we can't just give folks rules, you know?
Oh, can't we? Doesn't that make it easy? You don't have to think. You just, like, check off boxes. Isn't that the way everybody wants?
Yeah, it's easy on that end, but it's harder on the other end when it doesn't work like you expect it to work.
It's funny how often God's principles don't come down in a checkbox format.
Yeah.
But, all right, so let's talk about a few things. Okay, granted, you've got this new technology, and can I say one more reminiscence? I tell you what, I remember when I was in the Air Force, we had a computer system that managed all of the radar sites all the way around North America. It had less memory in that whole computer system, a room full of mainframes, less memory than I carry around in my shirt pocket with a cheap cell phone.
Yeah.
Just incredible. So, all right, so we got all of this power in our hands now, and our kids want us to turn them loose with it. What should be guiding principles?
Okay, I think the number one guiding principle is make sure you've got some kind of internet protection on every single device in your home.
Yeah.
Because that device is a window in the world. And that means your kids can go to museums, they can watch wonderful movies, they can play educational games. Mm-hmm. It also means that they can be vulnerable to predators.
Right.
They can watch sinful stuff, mm-hmm. and they can get addicted. You need to know where they are and what they're doing, and the only way to do that is to have software on the device.
You know, and that's it's not just a matter of supervision, but it's a matter of training.
Right.
You know, that we want to be teaching our young people how to use these devices. You know, that like other things in our lives, they're terrific servants, but they are dreadful masters. Yeah. You don't want to be enslaved to this device. You don't want to be entrapped by this device, but you want to use it in a way that glorifies God and benefits yourself. And so, all right, so yeah, we need to have some sort of monitoring, filtering, protection sort of software on there. We use Covenant Eyes with ours. We've got Android devices, and it works very well for us. Apple users may find some other things as well that Covenant Eyes does work for there, but there's other products available too.
And you can support our ministry if you mm-hmm. do sign up for Covenant Eyes by going to Covenant Eyes through raisingrealmen.com/safety.
Yes.
But, you know, okay, so say you've got protection on all the devices.
Okay.
There's some other things. Mm-hmm. We've got to make sure they don't get obsessed with it. And it's so easy. I get obsessed with it. I went on a Netflix binge this weekend. Mm-hmm. I was exhausted, and it was easy, and I could just point my eyes at the screen and chill out.
It's a tough balance, because I remember Israel Wayne was talking about speaking at a young people's conference, and he said he sort of came down on some young people in the audience because they were playing with their phones while he was trying to teach. And at the end, they came up to him and very politely showed him, we have Bibles on our phones. We are using the phone as our Bible and our note-taking device. And he had to kind of backtrack. Well, you know, we got to realize our kids can use it for a Bible. They can use it to read their literature assignments. They can be doing foreign language drills. Our kids do that on their phones.
They could be, you know, leading a theological discussion on Facebook. I've seen our teens do that.
Or they could be obsessively playing any number of games, harmless or quite dreadful. And so
a couple of things, though.
There's some
balances. Even if they're looking at good stuff,
yeah,
we've got to be really careful that we don't let them get obsessed, because, you know, to get addicted, because internet addiction is a real thing. And you know, we have dear friends that whose son nearly destroyed his life because of it. And he wasn't accessing sinful stuff. He just was wrapped up in being online to the point that he wasn't even eating.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't going to work. He wasn't taking care of himself. I mean, he was a flat-out addict. They had to go rescue him from it.
It was truly addictive behavior, and that does happen. It can happen. So, you know,
so
that's...
So you got to keep an eye on news.
You keep an eye on news, and...
Well, and one of those things is, you know, I don't think you need to allow smartphones and them to take them to bed with them.
That's something I read about from time to time. They said that young people taking their cell phones to bed with them and continuing the conversations of the day, you know, that they're still getting notifications from all of their friends, and everything that anybody puts up on Facebook buzzes through their phone. And so, you know, it's disturbing their sleep cycles, or even keeping them from going to sleep at all. I mean, they're just sitting there wrapped into the ongoing interaction.
Well, you know, even just
how do you walk in a way that's pleasing to God to build strong and God-honoring relationships with the opposite sex, but recognize all of the temptations that are coming at you from, you know, as a young man, they're just being bowled over by temptations and spiritual attacks and everything else. And so we wrote a book for the young guys, for the teenagers and the single 20-somethings, to help them navigate these waters. It's called Love, Honor, and Virtue, Gaining or Regaining a Biblical Attitude Towards Sexuality. This is a short book. It's punchy, quick read, but it's got a lot of information. It's everything from how did God design sexuality to work? Where does Satan try to trap us in this? What do you do if you've fallen into the trap? But best of all, how can you form a strong relationship with a young woman in a way that's going to be pleasing to God and is going to be doing it the right way? And so we want to encourage you, if you're interested in that, come out to our website, raisingrealmen.com/LHV, or just go to lovehonorvirtue.com.
Now, Hal, we need to talk about how do we handle this in our family. Watching one of our younger kids playing on my phone right now.
Yes.
Because we're broadcasting, and I need this child to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But she has rules. She has things she's allowed to do, things she's not, and she's supposed to ask me every time she wants to use it.
That is correct. And so that is a good thing. You know, it's really important to remember that you are the parent. You weren't voted for this. God appointed you to this position, and you really do need to take charge of certain things, and you don't have to apologize to your kids for it. So, yeah, to put some rules and boundaries around it. Does your 8-year-old need a cell phone?
No, and I don't think they should have one of their own.
I don't think so either.
I think they probably shouldn't have one of their own until they're 15 or 16.
Well, what we've done with ours is each of them is we've added a phone into the contract for that particular person when they got their driver's license. Because that's when they're going to be away from us, and they're going to be driving around and may need to call for help, may need to look up directions. You know, there's reasons that it's useful for them to have a cell phone at that point.
And also, it gives us a chance to teach them how to use it. Because it worries me to see 12 and 13-year-olds on social media. Let's face it, middle school kids are mean.
That's one of the reasons that they've had such problems, you know, with the cyberbullying thing. I think it's because middle schoolers, more than anybody else.
Oh, it is, because they don't have any maturity. They're not thinking clearly, as we talked about when we talk about parenting preteens.
Yep.
They don't have the ability to make wise judgments. And they can easily bully or be bullied. And I just don't think they need that in their lives at that age.
You know, what we did, and so far we found this is a pretty useful way to do it. I've got a phone. Melanie has a phone. Our licensed drivers have phones. And then we have one extra. We'll have one extra that's designated as the children's phone. And that one they pass around if they're on a field trip without mom and dad. if they need to go someplace and they need to be able to call, you know, check in or whatever. But it's not, it doesn't belong to this child or that child. It belongs to all of them as a shared tool.
And, you know, it's getting to where that has to be a smartphone. You about can't get a dumb phone anymore, Hal.
Well, even the so-called dumb phones, most of them will go online. You can still send text messages. You can still send a video or you know, graphic images, you know. So it doesn't have to be a fully functioning mini computer to be able to do many of the things which are sometimes
problematic.
Yeah, which can be problems. And so now one of the things that's really that makes the cell phone such a dicey thing really is that it's very private. I mean, you can cup it in your hands. It's very easy to be watching things or doing things on your phone without anybody really noticing.
Well, you know, that's one of the signs that your child may have a problem with porn is when they always put down their phone when you walk up. They put it face down.
Yeah.
You know, when they put a password on it and they don't want you to have it. In our opinion, nobody in the house should have a password that the parents don't have, including each other.
I think it's just accountability that's good safety for everybody, because we can all get trapped. We can all stumble into things that we shouldn't. And so to have that little layer of transparency between husband and wife, between parents and children, I think that's a good thing. Of course, now that's a lot easier if you've got a good relationship.
Well, it really is. And that's something that you've got to work on, especially in those tumultuous preteen years and moving into the teen years. You have got to have a good relationship with your kids. But we talked about that last week.
Right.
But that should be just part of the bargain. You know, yeah, you're going to get a smartphone, but you know what? None of us in this family have privacy from each other because we're all tempted to sin. And we need to hold each other accountable. So don't expect to have privacy from me.
You know, I really...
If you put a password on it I can't access, you'll lose the phone.
And you know what, I really kind of think because there's so many, this is such a powerful little device and it's so easy to get yourself in trouble that we do need to be very open with this particular thing. Now, I think that sort of runs into another issue. We do need to remember as parents that the rules you make for your 8 and 10 year old need to change as they grow and mature.
Yes.
You know, that you can't, you know, clamp down your 8 year old and expect that to stay in place until they graduate from college. You know, there's a lot of things that it is appropriate for your 16 or 17 or 18 year old to be doing that you do not want your elementary school kids involved with.
And you know, relationship is the core of these changes and making it through this, though.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm thinking about kids we've known.
Yeah.
Who, now these are young adults, you know,
right,
but
right.
Kids we know whose parents would say, oh, I'm not going to let you get Facebook messages. But their child is emailing people from their phone and the parents don't know.
Or, you know, in other situations where the child has decided to carve out their little ground of independence by keeping their phone life private.
Yes.
And that's sort of risky. I think it'd be better as a parent to say, hey, I'm going to let you choose your own clothing. I'm going to let you choose your own hairstyle. I'm going to loosen up the curfews or whatever.
Yeah, take the car and go and don't come back till you feel like it. Just let me know where you are.
But just, we've got to keep transparent about the phone.
Because that is so often where temptation resides. Like, you know, the family we met in Georgia, mom thought to check her daughter's text messages, didn't recognize the messages from somebody. Turns out her daughter had been in a chat room online.
Yeah.
And had met a predator, had been groomed by this predator, and was on the verge of running away with him.
Wow.
She's about to become a sex trafficking victim.
Wow. Yeah.
And, you know, it's none of us need that level of privacy.
No.
You know, we all need to recognize that we can be tempted, we can make foolish decisions, and we need each other in our lives. You know, you and I need each other to hold each other accountable. Our kids need that. And I think that if we practice that from the beginning, that we make it clear to our kids that, you know what, mom does not keep her phone secret from daddy. Daddy does not keep his phone secret from mom. And none of you are going to have secret lives on your phones either, because we're going to help each other stay right.
That's it. There's a humility in there.
Right.
There's a sense of, we are all in this together. We are all in the fight together. We're all trying to serve God together. And this is an area that we very easily stumble. And so we're going to help each other through this slippery part.
Yes.
Not a matter of, hey, I'm going to put down the edict because I have achieved moral perfection. And as your father, I so decree. But rather to say, no, we are all in this fight. And right. I know where the traps are because I step in them.
Yes.
Okay. And so we want to make sure that, yeah, that relationship and that understanding is in place. You know, we do need to talk about, you know, part of the reason that we want to have time to train our young people is because if we've done a careful job of protecting them from the dangers of the world, that they're still pretty innocent. Even when they're teenagers, they don't really realize how evil the world is.
No, and they can get drawn into situations that they can't handle. You know, that's the thing, and that's why all of us holding each other accountable is so important. It's not that I go read all my kids' text messages all the time. I don't have time to do that.
Nobody got time for that.
But they know I could. Right. And right. If I felt like I needed to, I would. And just having that knowledge that someone else could will go a long way to helping you to resist temptation.
And see, that's the key behind things like accountability software like Covenant Eyes. It's training those young people to just keep in mind you are accountable. Yes. God knows, and somebody else, thanks to the software, somebody else is going to know. You can't keep your bad behavior secret for long, okay?
Yeah.
And so that's a really important lesson to get across. But, you know, we do need to warn our kids sometimes, hey, these are dangerous things. This is where some traps are. Like, for example, some of the popular applications in some circles, like Snapchat. Like, I was just reading about one the other day that was a Yellow. It's a relationship type of tool, kind of like Tinder, sort of to connect up people online, and it's aimed at the teenagers.
And our kids need to understand the risk of those things. They need to understand that although they may think something's going to disappear in a few seconds, that somebody on the other side of the screen can screenshot it. And it can change their lives.
Well, you can just demonstrate that real quickly yourself. I mean,
yes.
You know, and I got to confess, my college-age kids figured out how to do screenshots a long time before I did. And then I realized, hey, that's a useful tool. But the kids are going to find out, and the kids are going to share that with each other. And so they will know. And we just need to caution them with that kind of thing.
It's a tool. It's a tool of adulthood.
Yes.
You know, that, you know, we can allow our younger children to use at times, you know, to play a game or to watch a movie or something, but they need supervision because it's a tool of adulthood.
Well, it's no different than turning them loose in the kitchen.
Right.
You know, to say, hey, little one, I know you want to cook, but you're not big enough to use the oven yet. You know, you're not big enough to use the meat slicer yet. Let's let you grow up and mature a little bit, and we'll train you when the time's right.
And so, smartphones, good, bad, and different? Yeah, all of that.
All of the above.
All of the above. It just needs to be used with wisdom. And with parents being parents.
And let's be real about ourselves, too, because you know what? We often are guilty of the same things we want our kids to avoid.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that we get wrapped up in our interactions online. We get wrapped up in our conversations or our distractions. And sometimes we are not paying real close attention to the people in real life ourselves. And the kids will pick up on that real quick.
Oh, they sure will. Oh, kids have a huge hypocrisy meter, especially as they enter preteens and teens.
Do you think that God gave them that in order to help us through a bad period in our early middle ages?
Maybe. I don't know.
I bet it is. I bet we need their hypocrisy meters to bring us back to our senses at that time when we're starting to get tired and distracted.
Maybe so. Folks, just use wisdom. Be adults. Be parents. Don't be, you know, build the relationship that allows you to not have a culture of secrecy in your home.
The problem is not the phone. The problem is
the heart.
The heart. It's us.
it's always the heart.
We're the problem. The phone's just a gadget. And so let's just...
Problem's always the heart.
Don't let the gadget be our master. Let's let it be our servant, and let's keep that thing in line.
All right.
So let's see. Anything else we need to do for closing? We talked about love, honor, and virtue, and that's great. We hope you'll come out and check that out.
Getting ready for another one of our marriage retreats.
Oh, my. Yes, you do want to be on our mailing list to hear about that. You know what? If you want to get on our mailing list, you can come out to our website, raisingrealmen.com, and just follow the link for the newsletter.
Well, there's a sign up right there on the front page. They can just put in their email right there on RaisingRoman.com.
Oh, easy, easy, easy. And we would love to be in touch with you. And you know what else? If you want to keep this kind of thing coming, you want to keep this sort of content coming out here for free to help as many as people as possible, we could really use your support. There's an easy way to do this. If you come out to Patreon, patreon.com/HalandMelanie. And you can come online and just become one of our sponsors. And $1 a month, $5 a month, $1,000 a month if you feel like it. But it doesn't have to be much. Just sign in there and you can become part of our ministry team. And anything that we put out here, you'll have a hand and you'll have a share in it too. And so
be partly your ministry. We so appreciate you guys who are patrons.
We do appreciate it. Well, look, we are out of time and I think we do need to wrap things up now. But please just check back in with us next week because we'll have another episode talking about how to take biblical principles into the 21st century family. Until next time, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.